There's definitely no better way to get a 13-year-old girl in 1999's attention. Yes. Like, do you want to go see some horses?
We hate spinnerbait, but we love that Commander Plank is a millennial. Hashtag confirmed. Hashtag I spent way too much time doing the math last night.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
I will give you all the full breakdown here momentarily, but first let's introduce ourselves. Hi everyone. I'm Bethany. With me as always is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, how are you? Only 2 days before, really, like, not even 2 days, because we're all gonna, like, listen to it at midnight tomorrow.
Yes,
basically 2 days away from Torture Post Department. How are you feeling? Emotional check-in. Just how's everyone doing? This has been a stressful week. This has been a fun week. Stressful, and both literally it has been stressful, and also just stressful because Taylor Swift is stressing me out.
Taylor Swift is stressing me the F out, y'all. Like, with these twos. The twos is what I'm really focusing on right now. Yeah. And I can't move past the twos. Like, what does it mean? I don't know.
What does it mean? You know what I had a thought of the other day? I actually meant to text us in our Sweden group chat, and then I just forgot. But I'm just going to tell you now, and we'll tell Katie later. And everyone here listening to Hate Spinnerbait gets to hear as well. But I keep going back and forth on whether or not I think she's going to add, like, a set. And again, like, I'm putting a set in, like, air quotes, because I think if she has anything from Torture Post Department, I think it will be very minimal, mm-hmm. Because she only would have had, like, a month. Again, she's probably, if she wanted to, she could have planned this, like, the whole last year, being like, hey, once this album comes out, we're adding this to the set list. But let's say she adds an actual set list, which is, like, what I'm hoping for, but, like, my hype, like, my expectations are probably set really high, and it's probably going to be that she just, like, does it as the surprise songs, which, like, if that's the case, that's fine. We're still going to get to hear, we'll be, like, the first people to hear two new songs, because let's face it, she'll only have, like, 3 shows before our show. So she'll be, like, hinting us with some good, you know, tracks. Like, we'll probably be the first people hearing this song live, you know? Mm-hmm. So if it's just surprise songs, I'm fine with that. I'm setting my expectations low, but also, obviously, I'm hoping for it to, like, be added to the set list in some way. But I was thinking, if it's just the surprise songs and we only get, like, 2 of them each night, but then also it's, like, if it's just the surprise songs, then you miss out on some of the other catalog. Like, you know what I mean? Right. So I don't know. So unless I, like, go back and forth on, like, what I want. But if it is just the surprise songs, A, I really hope that I like the song Florida. But B, I think it would be appropriate if we got it, since all 3 of us, like, met in some way in Florida. Like, that is, like, our connection to each other in a sense. And I was like, how appropriate would it be if the 3 of us who all lived in Florida at some point got that song? So again, I don't know what the song is actually going to entail. As we all know, it's actually about Florida, but it is called Florida. I'm hype about it. Florence and the Machine, of course, is featured on it, so that has me hype as well. But yeah, the other day I was just like, what if that's the song that we get, y'all? If that was our surprise song? And my feels about it. But yeah, but really I would just actually like a TTPD to be included into the set list.
Yeah.
And then everyone, like, still gets surprise songs. That's what I would like, personally. But I don't control the world, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, we don't control the world. But that would be, yeah. That would be really nice.
That would be dope. That would be so dope. I'm just saying there is, like, precedence for this. Like, Ed Sheeran went on the Mathematics tour. He had not released Subtract yet when he started it, and he, once he added Subtract, added it to the set list. And then, like, places like that, he, it was a world tour, obviously, so he had done some shows that, like, didn't have it. He went back to the UK because, like, again, I think if it's, like, the country you're from, like, you should get to go back and, like, try it again. Like, Taylor is going back to North America, just saying. And this is what's getting my hopes up. He didn't, like, go back to every country that didn't get subtract, but like he went back to like the UK and did stuff like that. So yeah, so I don't know. I'm hoping, because like he added it to his tour after that album came out, that maybe Taylor will follow suit. They are friends, they talk often. Maybe he was like, this is how I would do it, Taylor. And she was like, great idea, Ed, let's do it. Maybe when she released that second batch of North American dates, which again, it's not many shows, but is a few, that was when she decided that she was like, yes, I'm adding TTPD to the set list. That's my theory.
I like that theory. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely here for it.
Yeah. I'm here for it. So to be determined, but Xenon, y'all, let's discuss. Welcome to our first DCOM Thursday, a new series we will be doing on Chaos, because we're just two millennial girlies who love Disney Channel original movies. Obviously, our Sweet 16, like our bracket, was only 16 movies, so we couldn't have everything. But literally just going up to Disney Plus the other day when I looked up Xenon, some of the other movies that came up by it, I was like, oh, this movie, oh, this movie. Like, I forgot some of them, like Rip Girls and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, that was the great little gem of a movie. So now I have ample time to discuss all of them, which is great. But before we get into the nitty gritty, here's my Commando Plank as a millennial dissertation, everyone. Okay, so we're watching this movie and I was thinking, my first thought was when it starts off, which by the way, y'all, we could not have planned this better if we tried. This movie literally starts on April 18th, so happy Xenon Day to everyone. It begins, yes, April 18th 2049. We see that at the start of this film, right? So my first thought is, how old will I be in 2049? Because like that is 25 years away, but that's like still something that's going to be in our lifetime, you know. My second thought was, oh my God, the memes. Because remember, like, when Back to the Future, like, we caught up to Back to the Future and, like, everyone was posting about it. And I was like, what social media will we be posting on in 2049? Because you know all of us millennial bitches are going to be like, it's Xenon, you know, whatever. That was my second thought, which is a very millennial thought of me. And then my – so once I was like, okay, like, how old would I be? How old is – yada, yada, yada. And I was like, if any of these characters, like any of the parents, would they be millennials? I was like, I don't think Xenon's parents, because like they only have a 13-year-old daughter. Like, obviously, we not saying that you can't have children older, but like I'm thinking about like my sisters who have children. And I was like, yeah, like they'd be the, you know, they'd be older. So I'm like, is anyone in this movie potentially a millennial? And then my first thought was Wyndham, because like he's older. And I was like, no, not the bad guy, but she like probably is, to be honest. But that's besides the point. He's like an older millennial. But then Commander Plank walks on screen and I go, wait a minute, Commander Plank is like giving off like middle-aged white guy vibes, right? What, like, how old do we think he is? So I went to the actor's IMDb page to see when he was born and how old he was when this movie came out in our Lord's year, 1998?
Nine.
When it came out, I believe. 1999, right. Right at, like, the turn of the millennium. So, 1999. And so, I was like, okay. So, he would be 53 years old. If we're going by the actor's age, he would be 53 years old in this movie. But this movie is taking place in 2049. So, then I math that bitch out. And I was like, that bitch was born in 1996. So, by a year, he's a millennial. I was like, we have Commander Plank to claim. All right. He's one of us.
I love it.
And that, I mean, excited. Commander Plank's a good guy. You know, we like him way better than Wyndham. So.
Yes. Way better than Wyndham.
We can claim him, everyone, as a millennial. Also, Xenon would be born in 2036, in case anyone is curious. And there you go. That's my Xenon math for everyone.
Six. Wow.
Yeah. So her birthday is still a ways away. It is. Over a decade away.
Yes.
But it's coming. It's coming. Xenon. Let's go. Let's dive in. What an absolute gem of a film, can I just say?
Yes, gem of a film. I have so many thoughts, so many feelings.
So many notes.
One of the first slang words we get is stellinarius. Looking stellinarius. And I was like, I'm going to have to put that in my repertoire. Because yeah.
There's so many words in this movie that I was like, little slang catchphrases that I was like, I would like to say, I need to add more of these into my everyday lingo. Yes. Also, like, and I get that obviously slang has been a thing forever, but it is funny to me, like, without them knowing it, because obviously, like, this movie is set in the future. mm-hmm. and even more so in the future from 1999, that without knowing it, like, certain things are kind of accurate to the way I feel like the youth are talking today. Like, I think inky is very much, like, something that I really could hear people saying out and about on the streets in this day and age. And I was like, oh, like, some of this, like, they were pretty spot on with how the trends would go in slang.
I agree. They did really well with this. I really like the slang they came up with for this movie. It was very good. They used it, like, super frequently.
Yeah.
Which was really nice to keep it, you know.
And I like that, like, space station slang and Earth slang are different. Yes. Which is what it, like, would be. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. like, these teenagers are all hanging out together. They would have a certain way that they talk. And on Earth, there would be a certain way that they talk. You know, again, like, there's some universal things. Like, when you go travel from country to country, like, there's certain things that all the kids are saying, no matter, like, what language they speak and stuff. But there are certain things that are, like, very specific and unique to certain areas. And that, like, would make sense. Like, if these kids are on the space station, like, they would have their own way of talking and stuff than, like, the kids on Earth.
Yes, like, all of the space station slang is space themed.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is great. Like, they would never have viral because they don't have any fucking diseases up here. That was another thing about this movie is I was like, can we get up here and do this? Because
yeah, can we do this? They've never, I've never even sneezed. And I'm like, shut the front door.
Right. I sneeze constantly every day.
All the time. All the time.
Allergies are rampant.
Yeah. We all know my husband's are. We all heard it. We all heard it on the phone.
Seriously.
We need to get him up to space stat.
Stat. Get him up to space stat. Her bodysuit in these first couple scenes, the hot pink, well, I don't know if it's a bodysuit, but, you know, like, the spandex hot pink she wears under her, like, skort and vest. Iconic.
So iconic. So, such iconic costuming in this film, truly.
The costuming is, like, unbelievably good. Who was the costume person? Let me look.
I also love that Chelsea Clinton is president.
That yes. That cracked me up. How old would she be?
I did look that up. I was doing a lot of at the beginning of this movie, y'all. I think she would be well into her 60s, which I was like, well, you know, we do love our old presidents lately, so that tracks that we would just keep. Also, like, in your 60s in 2049 is probably not that old. Like, scientifically speaking, you know what I mean? Like, that's 25 years from now, which is crazy. Like, 25 years sounds like such a long time, but at the same time, I'm like, that's in my lifetime. So, like, it's not that far away, you know, but it's still a very long time away.
Yeah.
Especially because this movie has been out for 25 years and I was alive when it came out. So that's wild to me as well. But anywho, again, the way, like, people's lifespans are today, I assume in 25 years it's going to be even better. So, like, you know, obviously probably a president being in their, like, well into their 60s, you wouldn't bat an eye out. You'd be like, what a little young lady. I also like that they have to, of course, like, say, like, President Chelsea Clinton, so we all know who it is. But then the teacher, like, keeps referring to her as Chelsea Clinton. And I was like, you would never say that. You would just say the president or President Clinton. Like, yeah. You wouldn't keep calling them, like, Chelsea. But again, because this movie came out in 1999, they wanted you to be, like, not Bill Clinton. So, yeah. So I just absolutely slayed me. Loved that.
I also love, I have a few questions about this teacher, but I also want to say about Chelsea Clinton is her, like, main thing, her, like, main point she's, like, platforming. I don't know. Words are really hard today, y'all. I'm very tired. But her, like, thing, her initiative is harvesting underwater vegetation, which I was like, what does that mean?
You go, Chelsea. I'm not remotely positive what that means, but, like, love that for you.
Love that for you. Also, I want to say the costume designer's name is Rosanna Norton, and she has done a lot of stuff. Tron, the Flintstones, Xenon, obviously, a very Brady special. Barbed Wire. She did a Casper in 1995. Casper.
Oh, get it, girl.
We love that.
I was looking at this like article last night. What is it? The writer or the director, like their list of things that they did, like some of it you're like, oh yeah, okay, and the DCOM family Disney Channel, and then like there were a few things that I was like, and you wrote that, okay. I can't remember if it was the writer, if it was the director, but I was just like, oh, that's interesting. I think it's the director. So like the director, it's like, yeah, like certain things are like very like Don't Look Under the Bed, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, that kind of stuff. But then also like he did Alien Nation, the $6 Million Man, The Curse of Dracula, and you're just like, what?
Oh.
You're like, some of these things are not like the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good for him for having a well-rounded resume.
Absolutely. One thing about the teacher, too, I have some questions. Like, I understand he's a hologram because they're like, it's the future, he's a hologram. But, like, mm-hmm. where is his physical form?
Right. Is he in space? And if so, like, why can't he just, like, go down the space station to teach his classroom? Or do you think, like, they beam up people from Earth to teach these space kids? But also... went out. You have this whole functioning society, but you don't think to bring up like a couple of school teachers, you know?
Yeah, it was it's
strange
weird
to me. So yeah, I'm also kind of curious where his physical form is. That's a very good question.
Or is he a hologram? Is he just a hologram? Like, is he AI?
Maybe. He could be. Ooh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
He only exists to teach them, and then he disappears. Pretty crazy. Also,
only existed. Like, I mean, like, I understand that's how like AI works. When you like put it like that, it was just kind of funny. He only exists to teach them,
and then they power him down.
And there he goes, just off thinking about Chelsea Clinton, other random things. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Her parents are doing scientific experiments on bone marrow density, which I would love more information on personally.
More info just in general about her parents. I have some, like, thoughts on the parents. Yes. But overall, like, I think that they're pretty cool people. Like, I'm pro her parents. I love that her dad, like, clearly it's supposed to be, like, her mom's, like, the more uptight one and her dad. But, like, I love that her and her dad, like, again, in this, like, silly little made-for-TV movie, you really get, like, the two of them have a connection. They're a lot alike. And I just think that they're just, like, they're good little parents, except for a couple of things. So we'll get into that later.
Yes, they are definitely good parents. I don't love that they made mom, like, the fuddy-duddy and the dad, like, the cool one. But,
I agree.
You know, it's 1999. What can we expect?
I do enjoy that she has a stress helmet and apparently a chill chamber for when things get real bad. And I really do hope that by 2049, both of these things exist because I need them stat in my life. Thank you so much.
A chill chamber? Nothing sounds better than that. Yeah. I would love that.
I was like,
please.
Give me a chill chamber. That is 100% up my alley.
She calls somebody at some point. Scrooge Major.
Yeah.
Who does she? And I loved that. She was like, he's being Scrooge Major.
She references both Dickens and Shakespeare. So glad to know that we're still making poor children read old white men. It's just still doing it. But Scrooge Major is a great insult.
It really is. And then they also say, like, I'm at the scene now where she's like building the little thing and they're talking about Earth, what it's like on Earth. And she says, everything down there is motivated by money. And yes, queen, you could not be more right.
Yeah, you cannot be more right. 100%.
Oh. Even the premise of this movie.
Also, yeah, literally. Okay, I had to look this woman up. Again, y'all, last night I'm a little bit of a Xenon deep dive. And do you know who Candace Owens is?
I unfortunately do, in fact, know who Candace Owens is, yes.
So if you go on to Xenon's IMDb trivia, which of course I did just to like see if I could find some fun facts. One of the fun facts, it's the last fun fact, is that apparently it's her favorite movie of all time. And I'm like, this is what I don't understand about conservatives, is they will watch movies that literally go against everything that they believe in. and like think that it's somehow speaking to them. And I'm like, did we watch the same movie? Because like Candace Owens' outlook on life is not like, it does not in my mind compute with the movie Xenon. So I was just like,
no,
ah, that's her. That this is the movie that she claims is her favorite movie of all time. That does not compute in my brain. Not at all.
No way she's interested in moving science forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. No way.
This is very strange to me that this would be a movie that she would like, but all right. So there you go. That's a IMDb trivia fact for everyone.
Very interesting.
I was like, how is this a trivia for this movie? Okay, cool. Thank you. But I did. Then I had to fact check it to see if she ever really did say this, and I found video evidence of it. So yes, she is a big Xenon fan, apparently.
Wow.
The more you know, everyone. The more you know.
Candace Owens, keep Xenon's name out of your mouth.
Yeah, out of your goddamn mouth, please. Thank you.
Please.
Don't track her down like that.
So then she goes out to space.
Again, I understand you literally live in space, but I really don't think they'd be letting... I mean, clearly they don't really let teenagers. And I'm like, how does she know to do this? And like, how do they know to do these things? I don't know. Maybe under supervision, the kids are allowed to go out in space. But yeah, definitely not by yourself like she does.
Right. Like what? And then they're like, the parents are like, what if your tether snapped? What if there was like a sudden meteor storm? And she's like, guys, I'm 13. I can handle myself.
Line of the movie for me.
Yes.
She's like, I can handle myself. I'm 13. And it's like, you can't handle yourself if your tether breaks and you're stuck out in space by like what and what? How? I don't care if you're 50. You can't handle yourself if that happens. Like, but all right, go off, queen, that you're 13. I was like, oh my god, yeah. That's the most like 13-year-old response, though. Perfect.
It really is. One thing about this movie was it was like, it's like, and this movie is for kids. Like,
yeah.
The point of view is strictly from the kid, which I feel like is silly to say because, of course, but like, a lot of kids' movies have, like, way deeper messages that are, like, resonate with adults. Like, a lot of Disney movies, like, Frozen. But, like, this movie is, like, no. Like, Xenon wears cool clothes and she saves the world.
Stand, okay? Yeah. And you are right. That guy is inky and you should investigate. Don't listen to your stinky parents. Like, that is 100% the, like, theme of this movie. And you're like, yeah, go on with your bad self, I guess, Xenon.
Yeah. But then dad catches her. And here he goes. He's pulling her back in.
He's not pleased.
So I Googled solar flare, like, very quickly. So I didn't do a bunch of research. I'm not a science person. If there's any science space people out there, holla. But I saw that solar flares cannot be seen from the Earth, but they had, like, a solar flare party, solar flare festival when they're in the school.
Yeah.
There's like a huge banner that says Solar Flare Festival.
Yeah, it does. You're right. And they would not. Because, yeah, I'm like, I don't really. Solar flare is something I've heard of, but I've never seen one to my knowledge. And apparently, clearly, you can't from Earth. So I don't know why they had a whole festival. Maybe in 2049, they've got some cool glasses and they can see it now. I don't know.
Yeah, like the telescope technology has gone really way up.
You're like, what is that word I'm looking for? Where in Earth is this, like, is it ever, like, addressed? Because the entire movie I was like, where are, do they live in Earth? Because her aunt's like, yeah, we're not city folks and da da da, but like, I'm a little bit confused as to where exactly they live.
I was thinking California. Southern California.
Good guess. It was filmed apparently in Vancouver, which doesn't surprise me. A lot of things are filmed in Canada.
Yeah.
But I feel like the kids and the vibe that they were giving was maybe like Southern California. Although, except for that science teacher, I'm skipping like way ahead, everyone. But the way she pronounces down here, we're still using Fahrenheit, is the most Midwestern thing I've ever heard. I was like, oh, that lady. That lady came straight out of Fargo. Oh. Down here, we're still using Fahrenheit.
Also, in 2049, we're all still using Fahrenheit.
Yeah, apparently.
Like, are we embarrassed? I don't know how to use Celsius, but I feel like I should.
So there, the other day, we actually had this conversation while I was at going to my friend's wedding. this somehow came up because my friend had her phone in military time. And I was like, wow, you're so smart. Like, I can't do military time, which is also like European time, which we're going to have to do when we're in Europe. And that confuses me every time. And so I was like, and she's like, oh yeah, I just like try to test my brain. And I was like, no, like it's really good. Like the rest of the world basically uses it, but us, like, so we should use the 24-hour clock, you know? And so I was like, yeah, just like the metric system or whatever. And so the one thing we agreed, though, that Americans actually have right is Fahrenheit. Because we were saying, like, from a human perspective, it makes more sense. Because the difference between 20 degrees Celsius and 25 degrees Celsius is so vast. But the difference between 60 and 65, like, if you're looking at the weather and you're looking how to dress for the day, like, if it's 60 or 65, you're dressing about the same. If it's 20 or 25 Celsius, you are dressing vastly different. Like, so we're just like, from a human perspective, Fahrenheit actually makes more sense. I mean, obviously, like, Celsius, like, boiling point and whatever, and freezing point, like, zero and whatever, like, makes more sense. But everything else, like, having little numbers, like, our little human brains just, like, Fahrenheit kind of makes more sense. Or maybe it just does because we're Americans, what we grew up with. But I'm going to die on this hill and say that in a lot of ways, America fucks shit up. But I think Fahrenheit is the way to go, y'all.
Well, at least we have something, right?
It makes more sense in my dumb little human brain.
I love how Xenon sees right through Wyndham right away.
Yeah.
She's like, this guy, he's full of shit. Mm-hmm. He's full of shit.
Yeah, because he's very, like, everyone – so everyone's, like, very easily charmed, which, again, like, he's the perfect manipulator. And, again, it would be a teenage girl that could see right through that shit. Like, you're fake, but all right. Because anything anyone says, like, he instantly is like, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da, and, like, has something to say about it. Which, again, like, he's a businessman, so, like, he knows how to do that. But, yeah, he's, like, a master manipulator. And everyone else is just like, oh, I'm so charmed by him. And Xenon's like, no, that guy's a fraud.
Exactly. Also, Mr. Lutz could not be creepier.
Oh my god, I know. Seriously.
He, like, really gives... he's got people's skin in his basement.
He just might. Oh, I did not like... I'm not sure if we're at this part yet. Or not, but this is still, like, when we're in the space station before she gets kicked the down to Earth.
The space day,
as I like to call it. Which also, that, like, first shot of the space day, oh, the CGI graphics are so bad. But also, like, so good.
Yes.
In their own special way. One thing I did not like, have this in my notes. So they're talking about, this is when they're all in her room, and I think this is during the conversation where they're talking about everything on Earth sucks, which we kind of brought up earlier. And they're talking about, like, you know, gravity and how, like, it adds, like, you know, like, weight to you and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, imagine what Commander Plank would look down there, like, down there. And then, like, you know, Nebula even does, like, a little, like blown out, like, pufferfish face. And I'm like, we do not stand these thoughtphobic jokes in 2049, y'all. Okay. Not cool in 1999. Certainly not cool in 2049. Definitely not cool now in 2024, although people are still making it. But I was like, oh, yikes, Disney, that one wasn't in – that was in poor taste. Something I don't think that they would do today. But in the 90s, we were just like, heroin makes you skinny. Look at all these models that are taking it. And – or heroin thin at chic. Heroin chic was a thing, y'all. Can you believe that was a thing? That's wild.
That's wild.
So we were all real into that. We were all into being Kate Moss and making fatphobic jokes. 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, what a time.
What a time.
And again, this is why, I mean, everyone ever in the history of ever has body image issues. But you look at some of the things that as millennial women we watched and you're like, this is why we all have body issues.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. All the fat suits they used on people, like Monica from Friends.
Yeah, that's a real big, real big yikes. So, yeah. That one did not like. Other than the fatphobic joke, I think that this movie holds up. But that I was like, oh, yikes. That was not good.
That stood out. So Xenon, she wins the contest. Obviously, of course she does. She's going to dance with Protozoa on stage. She's like, this is Stellar Major.
Yes, Stellar Major.
But she cannot let this Wyndham thing go. She saw Lutz trying to sneak into the main memory bank, which it should be a lot harder to get into the main memory bank, yeah, is all I have to say. Bang. And she can't let it go. She can't let it go. So she ends up following him, getting stuck in the memory bank, setting off the alarm. And this is ultimately what causes her parents to quite literally ground her and send her to live with her aunt in presumably California.
Yeah, we're uncertain, but we're going to go with that. Except when for that science teacher who's from the Midwest. She moved. She relocated.
She relocated. Pays better. Who knows if that's true. When she's getting on the space shuttle to go to the planet Earth, she has this backpack on that's like kind of heart-shaped and it's spiky and black. And I'm like, where can I get this backpack?
I need it. I have had visceral memories of this bag since I was a child. Like the second that scene came up, I was like, the cool backpack's coming up. And it did. Clearly, I'm just obsessed with cool backpacks, which is how Loungefly got me. And the obsession and the addiction was born. But yeah, I'm honestly amazed with it being the 25th anniversary that Loungefly didn't jump on that and like make that bag, you know, could like make a whole Xenon collection. How dope would that be? Like one of the bags could be like her little iconic outfit. One of them could be the iconic spiky heart bag. There's so many, the potential is there. Y'all is what I'm saying.
So many options. They could have like the fabric could be like the rainbow disc.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Ugh.
Loungefly, contact me. I'm here to just give you $1 million ideas.
Loungefly, sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, Loungefly.
Sponsor us, thank you so much. Yes, that bag is everything. I also love the space shuttle pilot lady who is like having none of this shit. She's like, this is not, you know, American Airlines, kiss your loved one at the gate. We have a time to go. And she's like, our flight is going to be scrubbed. Like,
yeah. Period. Like, she's like, say goodbye, kid. Hurry up.
Say goodbye. And I love that her parents – okay, like, this is where I'm a little annoyed at her parents. So I understand her parents, I think, are in the right. Honestly, the second your daughter was, like, space traveling, I would have been like, she still got, she got second chances and third chances. But anyways, they're in the right to be like, okay, we need to, like, put you in your place, Xenon. You're a little out of control. Even though, of course, she is right about Wyndham. But – this is where I'm a little bit confused. You're sending your daughter down to Earth. When she is leaving to go down, they don't seem to have any, like, plan of when they're bringing her out. We'll bring you back as soon as we can. What is your plan here? Like, I was like, okay. And also, like, don't say it like that. Like, you're not the one sending her. Like,
right.
You are the reason she is going. But they made it sound like, we're going to miss you. We'll bring you back as soon as you get, like, what? So that was wild to me. I was like, okay, mom and dad. And also, I am in a little bit of agreeance, like, with Xenon being like, what the hell, when her, the whole thing is they're like her, again, when they're having that conversation, Nebula earlier in her room, Nebula's like, her mom couldn't wait to get her up here because she's talking about like how unsafe like Earth is, which also like what is going on with her mom that she like got mugged, she got,
like, again, I know happens,
but this mom sounded like she was going, this poor little scientist lady was going through it. So I was like, so you basically really wanted to move up here to not only advance your science, but also to, like, protect your daughter. And now you're going to send her to Earth. Like, so it does kind of not make sense in a sense. I was like, if we wouldn't have had that line earlier in the film about how her mom couldn't wait to get her up in space because it's unsafe, then you'd be like, okay, she's doing this to teach her a lesson. But now you're just like, so you're putting her in an unsafe situation and you don't have a timetable of when you're bringing her back. Okay, mom.
Right. Yeah, they did act like she, they had like, they were like, well, as soon as we can, as soon as we figure out this logistics of it. It's like, yeah. Wait, what
is your plan? I was like, how many times do space shuttles come back and forth from the space day? Like, what? Yeah, very curious as to how that works exactly. But yeah, that's great. And then she gets on the space shuttle and of course she's with Wyndham. And
of course,
and again, Slimy probably has people's skin in his basement, Lutz. And when they land, that's when he notices that the little gift that Nebula, I love that Nebula is like such a little thrifter. We love that for upcycle girl. Yes, go off. And she gifted Xenon a little prezi, a little cool disc earring to wear. And Lutz sees it and is like, who? And then, of course, Xenon is like, what is up with that?
Yes. Yes, they don't realize that that is the disc that Lutz dropped like a fucking idiot. Like it made a whole ass noise. You're in a space station made out of metal. Like, what do you, you didn't hear that?
He apparently did not hear that.
I also love that it is the year 2049, but we are still driving Volkswagen bugs.
Damn straight. As we should, you know? And weirdly enough, ones that look very reminiscent of the ones we were driving in the 90s, but you know?
I know. I was obsessed with bugs when I was growing up. I was like, I want a bug car. But now the I'm fact like.
That Brooke Davis had one also made it.
Yes.
So cool. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, I want. My mom got one. My mom did drive a Volkswagen Bug when she handed me down her Jeep. That was what she had always wanted since she was a little girl also. And so she was like, all my kids are like grown. Like we were all teenagers, you know. So it's like, you don't have to wear car seats and this, that, and the other thing anymore. And she's like, I'm gonna get myself a cool car. And she got herself a little like gator blue, royal blue for those who are uninformed. But gator blue, so we should call it, and a royal blue with a tan convertible top. And let me tell you, the back seats are uncomfortable as all get out. So they look cool, and they are cool if you're in the driver's seat or the passenger seat. But if you have to sit in the back of one of those, do not recommend.
We get Aunt Judy here. We get our intro to Aunt Judy, who I love. Yes, she's very Aunt Judy
is everything.
Very hip, very cool. She brings her to this pizza burger type joint. And what I like here, so like obviously they couldn't completely create an entire futuristic world. So they have this kind of futuristic world.
Yeah.
And Judy's like, oh yeah, well, we just let things progress here. It's not like New York. It's not like, she said another city and now I don't remember what it was. She's like, we're not like those cities, you know, we're taking our time. And it's like, you know what? I appreciate the effort of saying this is why this area that we are filming in is not super advanced. It's not super,
yeah. So it's like, oh, if you went to New York City, it would be. But yeah, we're not there. We don't have the budget to show you that. So we are
this
here.
This is a made-for-TV movie,
Xenon. So we are here, and it's kind of like the 90s still. But it's futuristic. There are, yeah, there are some futuristic aspects of things. But it is also still very... I also do love, again, this is one of those deeper moments for, you know, adults, I guess, in a Disney movie. Like, when they're talking about going out to eat and stuff, she's like, oh, like, everything at the space station is, like, everything has a purpose. Like, you don't just eat things to enjoy things. And, like, she's just very confused when she gets to Earth that, like, there are things that don't have purpose. Like, the flowers at her aunt's house, she's like, they're pretty, but, like, what do they do? And I love this quote I wrote down that her aunt says, and she's like, not everything has to have a purpose. Some things are just good for your soul. And it's like, yes, that's like the beauty of humanity and Earth. And there you go, Xenon. And that's great. Exactly. And then Xenon ruins it by being like, so, Aunt Judy, why did you never get knocked up or married? And I'm like, none of your goddamn business, Xenon. That's why.
I know. I was like, damn, Xenon.
God, go for the jugulars.
Seriously, 1999, am I right?
Yeah, am I right? I was like, oh, because she likes her life. Like, look at, because she gets to drive in a beetle bug and she gets to have this really nice ass house.
What is her career? Because what? She's a single thriving woman with a crazy ass house.
Crazy ass house.
When they're at the restaurant, okay, so I'm going to say something controversial. Ooh. I think the main love interest, Greg, is fucking creepy. They get to the restaurant.
He does have his creepy moments, if we're being honest.
Like, when they get to the restaurant, he stares at her walking by, which, like, okay. You know, he notices her. He's like, okay, yeah, like, look at that girl. She's cute. But then he stays staring. Like, he does not stop staring at her. Like, we're watching Aunt Judy talk about something, and he is over in the corner staring at her. Yeah. It's so creepy. I'm like, why are you not stopping this? Like, you can look over every few minutes. You don't have to. What are you doing, Gregory? It's mouth creepy.
Breather. That's. I feel like he was giving off mouth breather energy, honestly, in this scene for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a little bit much.
But then I love when Mean Girl. What's her name? Muffy. That's not her name. Misty. She seems like a Muffy.
Think of her actual name, because I'm so, it does start with an M. It's like Marjorie or something. Shoot, what is it?
Margie Hammond.
Margie, that's what it is. It's like something. Okay. Margie or Muffy.
Or wait, Muffy.
Isn't there a character named Muffy in something that like is like a villainous character?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I love, she comes up here, she walks up to Xenon when Judy goes to wash her hands, and she's like, trying to make fun of her, she's like, you must be from some viral extreme place like Eastern Jersey. I guessed you were simply getting a 6-month head start on Halloween. And Xenon, immediately, she goes, you win, it's the Halloween thing. Now lend me that mask you're wearing and I'll have the most hideous major costume ever. Yes, Xenon.
That's a great
Xenon doesn't play
about these movies. Is like, I wish I was that at 13. Like, I wish, yes. I wish I was that now, where I had a quick wit and could come back with a comeback that quickly. Yeah. But yeah, Xenon, absolute savage, major coming at her with that sick burn. So good, loved it.
And then she's in bed. Okay, this is another problem I have. This is a problem I have with the parents. Right here. Mm-hmm. She's in bed and she brings out her little communicator device and she's like, I'm going to call my friend and say hi. But her parents had blocked it so that she could not call anybody but them. And I'm like, okay, like, I understand that your daughter severely fucked up several times and she needed to be like taught a lesson. But like, did you have to cut her off from her friends?
From her entire friend. Like, she's not going to see them. Like, she's in, right. She's back in Earth for some indeterminable amount of time because you all just need to have a plan of when she's coming back. And you're really not going to let her talk to her friends for presumably, what, months? That seems a little hardcore when she's, again, on a completely different, like, she's on planet Earth now. Like, she is far from them. She can't. It's one thing when, like, you're grounded and you all your friends live in the same town and you can't talk to them because, like, you could presumably, like, you're going to see them at school the next day. Or, you're, like, it's not like you're really, like, getting all contact, like, you know, taken away from you from your friends. But in this situation, I was like, wow, that is a little, like, excessive, major, there, yeah. Mom and dad. Just saying.
It's excessive, major. And then she tries to swim.
Yeah, at school. This scene I titled "Welcome to Earth, Bitch," because when she does, when she did it, I was like, "Well, welcome to Earth." And I wanted to, I was like, "If this wasn't a decon, that's where it would have been like, bitch."
Yeah, seriously.
But also, welcome why to did Earth, you say like, "Yeah, I can swim," da da da, and then when you almost drown, up and be like, "In space," like we all knew what you were looking at—a pool, Xenon, not space. So you should have known.
And, like, what do you mean you can swim in space?
Yeah, you're not swimming. Like,
is there water up there? Do you have a pool? Like, no.
No. But, yeah. Welcome to Earth, bitch. Then we get the Midwestern science teacher. Fucking great. Where she's over there trying to heat things up using Celsius. And I was like, And, yeah, anything else interesting at school happen?
Let's see. Yeah, I said, why would they keep it from her friends? Then I said, Margie needs to be slapped. And then I said, this guy is obviously creepy. Or this guy is honestly creepy because he... I'm sorry, but Gregory is creepy. He comes out of nowhere in the grocery... And by grocery store, I mean the lunchroom. And... Oop, I just hit restart. And he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's just there. He's like, hi. Do you want to...
Also, like, the way he asks her out is kind of creepy because he's like, what does he say? He's just like, I work at the stables or
something. Like, yes. He's like, I work at the stables.
And I'm like,
graphic
Gregory,
is beautiful. Oh, that's where I wrote that it was creepy because he's like talking to her and she's like clearly mad. And he's like, graphic. He's like explaining their slang. And he's like, and graphic is beautiful. And she's like, okay, great. Fuck you. Just like walks away.
Creepy. I was like, dude, now is not the time to flirt. She's kind of pissed off. Like, lay off. But he comes around. Also, like, okay, when they go on their date, can we discuss the date now? Because I feel like it needs to be discussed.
Yes.
It's cute. Like, the first part is cute with the horses, like, young love, whatever. And, like, when they get caught in the rain at the end, and she's like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, it's just rain. Cute.
Cute.
Very the cute. Dinner part is a little bit funny. I also have determined that from now on, anytime I have something that's really good, I'm going to be like, this is illegal, is how I'm going to describe a delicious meal from now. So prepare for that in Sweden. You're going to hear it all the time.
Yes.
Anytime we try anything that's good, I'm gonna be like, this should be illegal. I think it's honestly, the dinner scene is really cute because she's just like so excited to have food that's like, again, not for a purpose. Like it just tastes good, you know? And yeah. So she's like, you know, talking about that or whatever. And he's like, slow down. And then he's like, I agreed to pay for one meal, not for five. And it's like, it's a little funny and cute. But also I was like, okay, Gregory, like, geez. And he's like, I'll be mucking this table for weeks. And I was like, way to guilt the poor girl. God damn. Like, don't think you're going to take off for dinner and then limit what she can and cannot have. I was like, all right, cheap date Greg over here.
So, I know. Seriously. I mean, I know you're 13 and all you do is brush horses,
right?
Who knows.
Also, I was like, man, smooth operator taking a girl out to like dinner for I 13, know. Like that, and being like, I'll pay. And yeah, what a date. It's a whole long experience, like a whole day date. Yes.
It's a whole day date.
No parents and nothing. How are they getting there, you know, at the horse, I guess, and then bikes, I don't know,
walking, biking. I like how There's definitely no better way to get a 13-year-old girl in 1999's attention. Like, do you want to go see some horses? The ocean, when they get to the, like, a beach. Again, terrible CGI. Yeah.
Also, I asked my husband last night, everyone, because I think at one point, Greg, this is, like, later in the movie, but I think he calls her Alpha Extreme. Or maybe it is on the date. I can't remember now for some reason. Should have written in my notes where it was. And by my husband happened to be sitting next to me on the couch. I've made him watch this movie twice now in his life. Probably something he didn't want to see once and has now seen twice. And I was like, why have you never called me Alpha Extreme? Apparently Alpha Extreme is like the ultimate compliment. And I'd really like someone to say that to me. So
I feel like it didn't age well. Like if you called someone Alpha Extreme now,
it would have a totally different connotation. Yeah.
Yeah. That is something very different would be happening in that conversation. Yeah. A different crowd, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Aunt Judy's place gets broken into. This is obviously no bueno. And this is when, again, Xenon senses are tingling. And she's like, Lutz gave me this inky look and all this stuff. This is, you know, problem major whatever. And so then our boy, Yold Horse Stables, is like, he's like, explain to me, like, you were on the shuttle, everything's good. And she's like, and then I tucked my hair behind my ear. And he's like, were you wearing this? And she's like, oh, you're right, I was wearing this disc. And so he's like, oh shit. Also, apparently teenage boys, well, I guess teenagers can, like, some teenage boys can hack into shit, but teenage boys in 2049 can hack into stuff like it's nothing, because this man is just like hacking into things. And then his little friend Andrew is hacking into things, and they are like on the case as to what is going on with Wyndham. And our girl Xenon is like trying to warn her parents, and she's like, and of course they're like, no, I mean, yes, everything is literally breaking apart in our space station, but like, don't worry about it, it's fine. And then again, with the little help of our little hacking boyfriends, here she's able to finally talk to Nebula, our girl Neb, and she's like, what's going on? And she's like, oh my god, are you psychic? Literally, this is, again, everyone is like so non-bothered by the fact that everything on their space station is breaking down, which is so weird because it's not like this is a common occurrence. They're not like, oh yeah, like every few years this kind of happens. It's like, this is crazy. This never happens, but none of them are like concerned about it. And Xenon's like, I'm just trying to kill you. And all of them were like, probably not, though.
They're like, I don't know. What's the worst that could happen? We all die. Also, after the date, I do want to say, after the date, so he rides her on a bicycle back to Judy's, and then it's literally downpouring.
Yeah.
And he just gets back, like, Judy, give this boy a ride home. Put his bike in your little car and drive him home. Rude.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that is, honestly, yeah, poor Stables, poor Gregory.
But he just bought your down niece down. Hundreds of dollars of food. The one thing about this, though, is like, yes, Marnie is, oh, that's not her name. What's her fucking name? She's Muffy from here on out.
Yeah.
Margie.
We're calling her Muffy, though, because now it's just funny to me.
Yes. Muffy has a cat on her shirt, which is amazing. But she is like mean and she's like around and whatever. But like then she tries to like claim Gregory, which like they definitely didn't build that out enough. Like that storyline was like half-assed. Because it's like, you didn't, what is this? You barely worked on this. We find out that that little disc is a virus that multiplies and breaks down your system until it's nothing.
Yeah. No bueno. I still cannot believe, y'all, this is a major plot point, and I cannot believe when we were talking about this on the DCOM thing, I was like, no, I don't think he was, like, evil and he was trying to kill them, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, he was trying to kill them. And then I watched this movie again, and I was like, shit, he was trying to kill them.
Trying to kill every single person on that space station, including Protozoa and the microbes. But she's like, my parents are having a problem major. They're going to die. They're all going to die. This poor little 13-year-old is like my entire family and all my friends and everyone I care about.
Is going to basically
gonna die.
That's terrible. Yeah.
But have no fear, because Andrew is an excellent hacker, an excellent computer genius, and he creates a file that will allow them to undo all of the damage that the virus did, which is hilarious.
Again, teenagers are getting shit done in this movie.
Like, yeah, seriously.
13-year-olds are like, oh, no biggie. This, like, crazy evil man who has like billions of dollars and could come up with this virus, I'm gonna come up with the antivirus to this. And it's like,
I'm 13.
Someone hired this kid, like, Google, get him, you know,
seriously. Also, he also hacks her video system so that she can call Nebulator. So Xenon's like, sorry, Judy, I'm out. She leaves her a little message. She's like, I hate to do this to you, Aunt Jude, because you have been stellar major, but things are desperate. I got to get back to the space day. So
her little whatever note, so to speak. Yeah, is fantastic. Little video.
She's like, he's viral in the extreme and you do not want to mess with him. It's like, if I was, okay, if my sibling sent me their kid to watch for X amount of time and I got a little video message from them being like, hey, I'm actually going to figure out how to travel home on my own. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I would be like, oh, my God, worried. My family's going to kill me.
Yeah, I'm dead.
Dead.
And this is not going to end well. I mean, Aunt Judy does have a bit of a freak out. Also, poor Aunt Judy and all this. I mean, like, great Aunt Judy. Aunt Judy is great and agreed to take Xenon, obviously. But again, this undetermined amount of time. She's this single woman living her life, doing her thing. And now they're like, we're going to drop a 13-year-old on you, which, as we all know, 13-year-olds are just, like, the greatest age of human being ever, for an undetermined amount of time. And good luck, Aunt Judy. And then this 13-year-old is like, hey, everyone that I know and love except for you is in peril, so gots to go, bye. And she's just like, what?
Okay. She's like, wait, what? Also, like, hey, Judy, I know you're terrified of your own shadow, but can I send my borderline criminal daughter down to you for you to, like, watch for some time?
Sure, this will go well.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, we're going to go on the cargo ship. And then the cargo ship leaves without her. So then she's like, okay, get me to Protozoa. It takes absolutely no convincing Protozoa at all. She's like, this is my doll. I'm the winner. Put me on your ship. And he's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He didn't, like, have to fact check that at all.
No. He was like, oh, your picture is on the doll. There we go. Get on in.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's roll, baby. Let's go save the day. Let's go save your space day.
Let's go save the space day. When they get on Protozoa's jet or whatever, space jet, and Wyndham, Lutz, and Judy, like, follow them, and they're, like, falling all over the place. So Xenon does that really cool thing where she, like, slides down the aisle, and she's like, here I am. I know how to handle myself. And she puts Wyndham and Lutz in, like, a garbage chute or something, like a little garbage hold. And she gives him a wink when she does this, when she closes the doors, that I was like, mwah, chef's kiss. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
Legend.
Kirsten Storms, you are an absolute icon.
What a gem, honestly. Truly iconic.
Honestly. They also steal his dad's bug car.
Yeah. Real into the bugs.
Really into the bugs. Bugs sponsored this movie.
Yes.
And
good old Volkswagen came in with the cash. Volkswagen, if you have some to spare, we are ready and willing.
We are ready and willing. The car just drives itself, which is fascinating. Excellent addition to a kid's movie, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, 100%. They're like, we're in the future. We need self-driving cars. Yes.
Protozoa's like, yeah, 13-year-old girl, get on my jet. Let's go. Word. So then she gets up there, and still nobody's listening to her. This entire space station's breaking down, mm-hmm. and everyone's panicking, and she's like, I know how to fix it. And they're like, no, you're silly. I'm going to lock you in somebody's office.
Yeah. Yeah, no one is listening to her. And I'm like, my dude, I feel like she's making a pretty good case. Again, look around you, yeah. What is happening. I feel like our girl is making a good case.
On Judy, she faces her fears. She goes to space.
Oh, I'm so proud of her. This was a big moment.
And then Xenon saves the space station.
Yes.
With 10 seconds to spare, she gets that password in, and bam.
Listen, as someone who loves procrastinating, I was like, yeah, get a girl right there in the nick of time. Again, this was not her fault that she procrastinated. She was trying. She was trying to do this earlier.
She was very much trying.
But I was like, whoo! Save the day. Yeah. Now it's time for a concert, y'all. And may I just say that, yes, she did literally just, I don't know how many people live on the space station, but she saved, like, at least, I don't know, thousands of lives. And I don't know, maybe also the space station, like, pummeling into Earth would have killed more people, too. I don't know. But she saved
lives.
Okay, so this is a big heroic moment. But this girl has a goddamn list of demands for Protozoa. He's like, all right, let's get it to our girls. I love, by the way, her hair and her outfit, also in the concert look. Iconic. If I was ever to go to, like, a 90s theme party, that is what I want to do. Okay, everyone?
But yes.
He's like, our girl Xenon, let's give it up for her, saving the day. And I was like, Xenon. I love that this movie ends with people chanting Xenon, by the way. Fantastic.
Yes, fantastic.
He's like, she has a couple of demands. And since she saved the whole space day, we're going to go ahead and let her do them. And I was like, okay. And it starts off with, all right. And then it's like, no, this is a And we're like, too great. One of them is dedicating the song to Greg. And then she, like, gets on her little comm, her little communicator. And they have, like, again, he looks kind of creepy, like, there, actually. The face he gives her, and that is, I wish again, I'm like, what was the direction? They're like, all right, so in this scene, you know, you're going to be basically communicating with Xenon. She's going to be back at the space day at a concert, and she just has to get a song to look at the camera. Like, this poor kid having to do this. And again, we love him. The actor we love, we stan, my boy Ephraim from Everwood. But, yeah. Ooh, what was the direction?
And I love how she's like, he's like, we're dedicating this song to Greg. And she, like, picks up the thing and they smile at each other. And then she puts it down.
Greg does not get to see this song. He does not get to participate in this song. Like, it's just like, hey, Greg, he's here. And I was like, and this isn't going to work. You're 13. He lives on Earth and you live in the space station. But you know what? Cute. I'm proud of you. You know, Muffy ends up alone. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to see some more of Muffy in the sequel, which, honestly, brilliant that they, like, brought her back for the sequel and then they did it, like, fish out of water the other way. Chef's kiss. But just skipping the jumping the gun a little bit, back to the concert. So, yeah, it's dedicated to Greg. Nebula gets to go up there and dance, this, that, the other thing. And then, of course, we all get introduced to a little supernova girl. And our lives are changed forever. And we're all just like, zoom, zoom, zoom.
boom, boom, my supernova girl, boom, boom, boom. Excellent song.
And yeah, and then everyone, we end off with a great rock and roll concert in space. Xenon has saved the day. And Judy has conquered her fears. Maybe there's some love blossoming with, we can claim him, our own millennial Commander Plank. And there we are. Everyone's chanting Xenon. We zoom out on the space day, which is still up and well because, again, our girl Xenon saved it. And that is Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. Absolute gem of a film. Fantastic.
Yes.
Again, fatphobic joke, don't love. The fact that Aunt Judy can just be a happy single woman and Xenon had to, like, question her about it, don't love. Yeah. But other than that, holds up. Great movie. 10 out of 10. Those are my only two notes.
Yes. Yep. I thought that, I think it's fantastic. It ages perfectly. You know, we're an adult. I'm watching it. I was feeling joy. I was feeling happy. The costuming is just like,
ugh, so good.
Out of this world. So good. Like,
I'm,
it's not
to make that spiky backpack.
Yes. If somebody has a link for this backpack,
yeah,
on Etsy or something, let me know, because I need it. But yeah, it was fantastic. There's two more movies. Yes. So Raven is recast in the second movie, but she comes back in the third movie,
which is so interesting. And apparently there was a fourth movie that was supposed to be made, but they felt that people had lost interest in Xenon, which, fuck who? Not us. All of us are interested. And so it was scrapped. And then there was, like, this petition, I guess, to try to, like, bring it back, but it never got made. And obviously now it's, like, many years later. But if they ever want to make another one... You know, Xenon's now a mom major, and she's got a kid, minor, doing their thing. We'll watch it, is all that I'm saying, Disney. So, your move.
It would be fun to see Xenon as the mom character now, and, like, her kid as, like, a little rebellious. Yes.
And she's like, now I understand my mom. Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be into it, is all that I'm saying. Well, everyone, Cetus Lapidus, it's been real.
Cetus Lapidus.
Thanks for coming to talk Xenon with us. I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you all rewatched yourself. If you haven't seen it in a while, please go rewatch it. It is a real gem.
Go rewatch it. It's really good.
And you'll get a double dose of chaos, because we'll be doing chaos episodes back to back, this one and then our Tuesday episode, which is usually Destin. We kind of explained. Obviously, we're going to want to come on and talk about Treasure Post Department. So we'll be discussing that on Tuesday and then reading some What Happened to Goodbye on Thursday. So come hang out with us then. And until then, try not to cry your hearts out too much this weekend. Listen to the new album. Take care of yourselves. Eat some ice cream. Listen to Taylor. And we'll chat real soon. Bye.